I'm Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. Yes, I still have some leftover late night jokes. I told you, put a lot away. Seth Meyers had been talking about Fox News coverage of President Biden's response to inflation, specifically the topic of rising meat prices. The White House said the blame for rising meat prices rests in part with meat conglomerates. Fox News decided to repeat a term for those companies. They call them big meat. That led to a bunch of jokes. Seth asking, why are they saying big meat so much? Is this Fox News After Dark? They sound like they're on a press tour for a porno about a pizza delivery guy. The worst part of the segment came when Rudy got confused and accidentally Googled big meat. Maybe they're just sticking up for big meat because that was Trump's Secret Service code name. Great set of jokes there. Betty White passed away New Year's Eve at the age of 99. I like this joke from the roast of William Shatner. Betty White in her late 80s joking, I once had sex with William Shatner. I remember he was on top of me huffing and puffing, and I'm like, you better wrap it up, Bill. The roast is about to start. Did you watch Pete Davidson and Miley Cyrus and New Year's Eve? I found it entertaining, even if I was old man about all the music. I really like the opening number where they did Welcome to Miami with custom lyrics. Pete Davidson doing a lot of rapping. Didn't look like he was reading the teleprompter either. That was a lot of fun. There was a sketch where they mock confessed that they were both actually normies who didn't do drugs or party. Got the joke, and the sketch went way too long. I didn't make it through the end of the sketch. Steve Buscemi showed up during a musical sketch called Unrealistic Resolutions that had the two aboard a yacht, breaking down all of Pete Davidson's resolutions that he's doomed to fail in 2022, including reading at least three books. Suddenly, he gets a FaceTime from Steve Buscemi, who tells Pete Davidson it's on site if he ever returns to New York City, since he was never paid for his turn in The King of Staten Island. Earlier in the week, Miley Cyrus had shared an Instagram post on which Pete Davidson spoke about New Year's resolutions, saying, I usually make one, then I don't follow it, so my New Year's resolution this year is not to have one, so I don't let myself down again. 1 minute before midnight, Pete Davidson asked everyone to raise a glass and toast the loss of television icon Betty White. There was no ball drop. They had a giant light-up champagne bottle spray fireworks as Pete Davidson exclaimed, Happy New Year! Go to hell, 2021. Shortly thereafter, Miley Cyrus had a wardrobe malfunction. Did you hear about this one? She was singing Party in the USA and her top came undone. She caught it with her hands. She turned around, back to the audience, ran backstage, came back out and had some kind of blazer on and joked, everybody's definitely looking at me now. Meanwhile, from TMZ, and I'm recording this Saturday afternoon, George Lopez got sick in the middle of his New Year's Eve show. This from TMZ. They have a short clip. George was performing at the Muckleshoot Casino Resort in Washington. It was 4 in the afternoon. He began struggling. Eyewitness Sabrina Alvarez told TMZ George was between half an hour and 45 minutes in with set, and he started sweating and asking for water. At first, no one came with a glass, but somebody finally did. Sabrina Alvarez says you could tell something was wrong, but it was not clear what was wrong. George said he was sorry, stopped the show, and walked off stage. An ambulance was seen pulling up to the venue. It is unknown if George got in that ambulance or where the ambulance went. The casino announced at 8 o'clock the show was canceled and rescheduled for March 18th. Hope George Lopez is doing okay. A lot of comedy news for New Year's weekend. Sketchfest. I was going to do a preview of it tomorrow. Had the script written and everything. However, they had to cancel it. Guess why? Yep, Omicron. It was scheduled for January 7th to the 23rd at venues throughout San Francisco. This is a huge, really, really, really cool festival I got to go to, I think twice. The multi-day comedy festival was intended to be a triumphant return to in-person shows. This year's festival was going to be a belated celebration of the 20th anniversary. The 20th anniversary didn't happen because of other COVID. Sketchfest put out a statement. The safety of our artists, staff, and audiences is our number one priority. Over the past week, we've had many artists reach out to us to express concern about traveling and performing at a time when the COVID Omicron variant is creating increased positive cases, blah, blah, blah. Faced with multiple artist show and flight cancellations, we've made the tough decision to postpone the festival to a later date. That sucks. Joe Rogan had to cancel one of his dates. It was his big 420 show on April 20th. He was going to be in Vancouver. Joe Rogan said, I should probably say this because I haven't yet. My 420 show that sold out in Vancouver, I don't think that's happening. I don't think I can even get into the country. I'm not vaccinated. I'm not going to get vaccinated. I have antibodies. It doesn't make any sense. Under Canadian rules, proof of vaccination is required to attend large-scale events like what Rogan had planned. Right now, that April show has been rescheduled for October 24th. Hey, Gary Gulman, what can we expect from you in 2022? That was a question asked by Yahoo. Gary Gulman said, I'm about 80% finished with a memoir called K-12. I have an uncanny memory from my childhood. I have a lot of memories that I put into this memoir, and it's told through the perspective of me when I moved back to my mother's house at age 47 to convalesce after being in the hospital. I didn't realize Gary was that old. It's very funny because I had a really eccentric family and grew up in an unusual neighborhood, so I'm really enjoying telling the story. I also have a recurring part on Amy Schumer's new TV show Life and Beth that's coming out in 2022, and Johnny Mac says will be quickly canceled. But that's the other thing Gary Gulman is excited about. On Saturday, I did an episode about Late Night with David Letterman. Hopefully, my love of that show came across. So when I saw this story, my Letterman rage fired up from the laugh button. Whitney Cummings has a love of breaking things. She also has a hydraulic press, just like David Letterman had 40 years ago. Whitney Cummings decided to combine her two loves together and come up with a new web show for YouTube called Pressed. The show is simple. They break things with a hydraulic press like David Letterman did 40 years ago. If you like stand-up comedy and you enjoy me, you probably do if you're 8 minutes into this podcast. Don't forget, there's the weekly comedy thing on the Live by Live app. That app is free, and I host the weekly comedy thing where we play stand-up comedy. Some streaming services don't play comedians anymore. You know what I'm saying? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. We do it Live by Live. On this week's show, you can hear me tell you about Rob Schneider, Frank Calando, Gary Gulman. Yeah, you probably know that story. I just told it to you here. But on that show, I get to play a bit by Gary Gulman. Jen Fullwire has a new album. Dane Cook, TJ Miller, all on the show. It's the weekly comedy thing. It's free on the Live by Live app. Olivia Munn doing some hilarious Instagramming with the baby. She put baby Malcolm in a bun steamer while cooking. What? She posted this on Instagram and captioned the picture, LOL, Daddy's new bon bao recipe. She added a second snap to her IG story. Listen to me being all hip. Declaring little Malcolm totally adorabao. It seems the couple was helping Olivia Munn's mother prepare the traditional Vietnamese dish in time for New Year's Eve. Slate has an eye-catching article. It is titled, What Louis C.K. Has Really Lost. Slate writes, turns out that C.K.'s stand-up is stuck in a weird way that reflects some of the exhausted discourse around him. Until Sorry, I hadn't watched any of Louis's material since canceling him in my own life 4 years ago. I finally watched his recent work at my editor's insistence. Here's my verdict. The special isn't bad. It's maybe a B minus C plus if you're grading the comic against himself. It's also not aiming for much more than that. It's not ambitious. Louis doesn't grapple with the allegations with anything like the candor and sincerity he's capable of at his best. But the comedic aspirations are lower too. While Louis remains the undefeated champion of deftly circumnavigating taboos, something's been lost besides his reputation. For one, he's repeating a lot of themes you'll recognize from other specials. Louis C.K. has long prided himself on putting out a whole hour of material every year or two, but even when the jokes are new, the moves are familiar. They include things like picking a taboo word like a gay slur or the N-word to recuperate and redefine according to his own peculiar lights, when the game is to say it as many times as possible. Then there's the sexual taboo stuff. Sometimes it's necrophilia, sometimes it's pedophilia. But the point is usually to offer a creatively shocking solution to the problem of sexual compulsives, like offering his dead body for sex, or another topic I don't even want to get into on this podcast. In both cases, the point is to mock the audience for piously hypocritical attitudes that prioritize respectability over dirty pragmatism. There's virtuistic skill involved in all this boundary skirting, but CK so practiced at it, we've seen him do it so often, that it's not the revolutionary stuff it once was. It's not that much fun to watch a tightrope walker do the same thing 18 times. Compared with his best work, it's a pretty simple routine, no big flips. But I realized I was watching it, there was a different sort of risk CK was taking in. Sure, he's doing riffs on a lot of the same old themes, but he's doing them this time without a safety net. Skipping ahead in the Slate read here, by the time of 2017, Louis was hailed by pretty much everybody as the ultimate winner, about to be a celebrated film auteur. In addition to being the most admired stand-up in the world, he was being compared to George Carlin in those days. George Carlin was the comparison. George Carlin was the comparison. His wealth and fame were starting to clash with the comedic persona he used in his act. 2017, in some ways, represented his effort to address his class shift. He included some throwaway lines, like how his family listens to NPR, because we're better than you. It's a good special, better than I remember, honestly, but I remember feeling that by no longer being an underdog, he had lost something that he really needed to make his act work. Well, he again has what he was missing then. Objection is Louis C.K.'s medium. It suits him. He thrives in it. But what he's missing now is much harder to recover. Good article. There's a much longer piece in Slate if you want to check that out. It's called What Louis C.K. Has Really Lost. And that is your comedy news for today. Follow this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. See you tomorrow.